World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Just wondering as I'm sitting here as we go live, can you name something you've done 2,210 times? Well, sure. Take breaths. Take steps. I get that. We all can think of this. But go to work. Okay, I understand that. That's where we are today. 2,210th show. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? 2,210. And I run into people all the time. They don't have any idea. And they got no idea what I do. So, I mean, what is it I do? I try to tell them, say, well, I do a morning podcast. Of course, they just roll their eyes. And it's hard to explain to somebody. See, the Bible tells us that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I just see that coming true in so many different places. The propaganda, if you think about what's going on in America right now, just even go to the attempted assassination of President Trump. And whether you believe it was an assassination or not, doesn't matter. Just to all of a sudden see how much, golly, information, disinformation. Have you seen this? The world is literally information machine. The world is. And so much stuff is spread, and we believe it because we trust our sources. And I become more and more aware every day. So much of what they've taught me, I don't know about you, isn't true. It isn't true. And there's nothing worse than believing something that isn't true. For instance, we have a whole bunch of Americans. I don't know how this could possibly happen. But we have a whole, like maybe 100 million. I don't know. How many millions of Americans who actually believe, excuse me, that a man is a woman. They actually believe that. They actually believe, excuse me, that a man can have children, that a man can breastfeed, that a man who thinks he's a woman should be appointed to high political office in America. Can somebody explain to me how can that possibly happen? How can rational, clear-thinking people be so deceived and so fooled? Now, you know, you get into that whole transgender thing, and that's being exposed more and more every day. But to understand that the purveyor of truth in America, sorry, I got a little frog in the throat this morning. The purveyor of the church, the purveyor of the truth in America, the American church, doesn't even really take these issues on. Doesn't even take them on. And I'm thinking if I opened a church, excuse me, if I were to open a church, there'd be certain things that I'd get on and I would just ride herd on, that I would clear out our church from people who are believing lies. For instance, if there's somebody in my church, I hate to use that word my, if a church I'm pastoring, there's somebody in the church comes every Sunday and they believe that abortion is okay, they ought to be run out of the church. They'll be run out of the church. It shouldn't be tolerated and accepted.
Amen.
People in the church who understand that it is a human being, a little developing human being inside of a woman, the people who believe that that little thing should be terminated, can be terminated at the whim of the mother, we ought to disfellowship ourselves, folks. We ought to disfellowship from them. And you understand the reason that we have so much confusion in the American church is because a fine line isn't being drawn in the church. Look, if you don't believe this, get out. That's where I would be with it. I would have basics, right? Basic things. If you don't believe this, please don't come here. Please don't come and poison our fellowship. We all believe that every child is created in the image of God at this church. We don't believe that any woman has the right to kill an unborn baby. And if you believe that, I'm sorry, you are in the wrong place. We cannot fellowship. Does anybody think I'm crazy to say that? You know why it sounds crazy to say that? Because it's the exact opposite in the American church. We tolerate and accept everything. But look at my sign. Everybody welcome. Everybody welcome. And because everybody's welcome, the next thing you know, you've got infiltrators in the church, and nobody even knows what's true anymore. Been bothering me all morning. A lot of stuff. I got up pretty early. I got up at 5 this morning. I've been doing a lot of searching, soul searching this morning. And stuff weighs heavily on me. Weighs heavily on me. Because we have clear thinking, supposed to be clear thinking Christian people that are believing lies. And they're not only believing lies in the government, they're believing lies about Christianity. I'll get into some of that here in a second. Bear with me. Hey, look, we need to pray. Mike, our dear friend Mike Blake, who just retired about a month ago. Thank God Mike's got a retirement. He and his wife Bonnie went on went out west for a little celebration of their retirement. And been out there a couple of weeks, I think. Somewhere way out in the middle of nowhere. Mike texted me this morning. I didn't even bring my phone down here. I got to have my phone. Michelle, bring my phone down. Bonnie's suspected maybe of having a heart attack this morning. And I don't know. I just got real quick details from Mike. Please pray for Bonnie. And we're going to pray for Bonnie here. That really led me into something else I'm going to try to dive into here in a second, if you bear with me a second. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that healing is the children's bread. And Bonnie Blake is your child. And she's the wife of our brother, Mike Blake. And, Father, we know we don't have to beg you. We don't have to bargain with you. We just ask you, Lord, that you would just touch her and heal her, Lord, whatever it would be. Guide the physicians. Guide the doctors. Let no lies, let no false or misapplied tests. We just pray that Bonnie be completely healed because of your love for her and your sacrifice on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. That led me into something else the other day. If I could jump in here, let me. Jeff's got his hand up. Go ahead, Jeff. Michelle, bring me my phone. I don't know where it is. Oh, wait a minute, I got it. I'm sitting on it. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Coach. We got another prayer request here. We went last night to a guy's house. His name's Buddy Davis. You ever heard that name?
I've heard of Buddy and I've heard of Davis. So I've heard of Buddy Davis.
This guy, long history, about 40 years, answers to Genesis, the dinosaurs and all that is created in the ark. He lives right in Bladensburg. And out in the country of Bladensburg, old guy, problems with what was his kidney shutting down, stroke. Oh my goodness! Just all the children's songs he's written and sang on his guitar. I mean, he's just spent his whole life doing this. So last night, Church of Bladensburg, we took Pastor Matt yesterday morning. Took a bunch of cards from the kids because he's taught kids through his songs and through his ministry, and. Took out some cards, about 20, 30 of them, give them to him, and I guess he just cried. So last night we get to the church. He says, now we're going to do something different tonight. We're going to take the entire church out to Buddy's house. We went out to his front yard and sang 3 or 4 hymns, old hymns. Him and his wife held hands on the deck and cried. And then the little kids got to sing This Little Light of Mine. They do this little animated song. This guy cried. I mean, and I had a guy who was with us that says, this is what the church ought to be doing. And matter of fact, the guy that's with me right now, come over here. You know, I put him in the seat. He sounded the shofar at Buddy Davis's front porch with Buddy. Here he is.
Look at that guy there, huh? I know he can blow that horn, for sure.
Tell him what you thought about it. I was good, Coach. It was That's what the church needs to be doing, stuff like that. It was exciting. And, you know, we still believe in healing, and God's the healer. And that's what we pray for the gentleman. And he's done a lot of stuff for the kingdom. I mean, he's been on expeditions going to look for Noah's Ark, and he's been instrumental in everything that went on in Kentucky with the, you know, with Ken Ham and all that. And it's pretty neat. I mean, he lives way out in the woods, just a little, you know, little cottage out there. And it was so peaceful. There was hummingbirds flying around. It was just amazing. The presence of the Lord was definitely there. It was awesome.
Amen. How long are you in town for?
Till next Sunday, Coach. We start this, there's a music festival here in Mount Vernon, and starts on Thursday. So we're going to be selling pretzels there for that.
All right. Well, let's get you down. I'll get you out and take you a little boat ride here, man. Good to see you.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Love you, Coach.
Amen. Amen. So this kind of led me into something here this morning that, funny, Jeff would talk about that. I was thinking, can I, hey, Betty, can I coach us a little bit here? Is that right if I coach us a little bit? Because I was, scratch my head here. Well, I want to make sure I'm saying the right stuff. First of all, let me back up before I coach us a little bit. I had breakfast. That's not the right word. I met with Pastor Bill Dunphy on Saturday. You know, Harriet organized a fundraiser out here in Buckeye Lake for Pastor Bill's defense fund. You guys all know that the Supreme Court booted out, the Justice Department dropped the most serious charge against Pastor Bill. And I sat down, had really, I spent a couple hours with him. It was really, really good. But I can't wait when this whole thing settles out for him to be able to tell you his story. Because again, folks, I asked him, I said, Pastor, have any pastors or any churches come around you? He said, no, none have come around me, no. And to think how easily those of us who call ourselves Christians, are you looking at me? We love to be the worst. We love to believe the worst about our Christian brothers. Nobody says, there's no way Bill Dunphy would do that. No, they want to believe. Why is it that we want to believe the worst about our Christian brothers when we get into the tail bearing and telling tales and all that? So anyway, I just wanted to mention that here in a couple of weeks, six, I don't know, whenever the sentence comes down, Pastor Bill's going to be able to talk, and he's going to be able to tell you the story, what really is going on behind the scenes, folks. And it is absolutely unbelievable. And we all bear a little bit of guilt in this, and that, you know, in many ways he's fought this battle alone. Own church, I probably shouldn't say it, but it is his own church, really, even in his own church. It's pretty amazing. So anyway, it's all good. I was encouraged by being with Pastor Bill. But here's what I wanted to get to. I said I wanted to do a little bit of a teaching today. Excuse me. Man, I got a frog. Get out of there, frog. Get out of there. But it says in the book of James, wow. Where is it? James 5, I think it is. Spencer, I think I sent it to you. Yeah, James 5. I talked about this the other day. Because I got the thing this morning from Mike Blake that his wife needed prayer. And I immediately sat down. I was up. I immediately sat down, began to pray. And then I realized the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I thought, what does that mean? And so I was immediately drawn to, excuse me, James 5, scroll down to verse about 16, I think it is, Spence. I'm just kind of guessing here off the top of my head. Talked about this the other day. Is any sick among you? Let's start at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Hey, any of you out there afflicted? Any of you out there afflicted? Well, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Hang on. Words mean things. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Not necessarily heal the sick. Do you see that? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Isn't that amazing? The connecting of sins with his sickness. How about this? Confess your faults one to another. I guess that's where we got in the Catholic Church, confession to the priest, I guess. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. Why? For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I've noticed this a lot. Please don't take this wrong. I'm on a process as well. So can I let me role play here for you a second. If I was going to pray for Bonnie Blake, which I have, Michelle and I have prayed for Bonnie Blake this morning. I'm not making fun. I'm trying to give me a little bit of grace here. And I pray out loud. I hear people pray like this. Are you ready? I'm kind of faking a prayer, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just all love Bonnie so much, Lord. And Lord, we're just so sorry that this sickness has hurt her. And Lord, we love Mike and we love Bonnie. And you know, they went on vacation and they've worked hard for 30 years for Mike to be able to have us. And now they get out there and then now they have this, it hits them, Lord. And we just pray that Bonnie would feel better and that you would take care of her. And that's all good, but that's just a narrative. That's just a comment. There ain't no power in any of that stuff. And I notice over and over and over and over that I hear people do, what does it say, Coach? Non-effectual prayer. The effectual prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I hear a lot of not effectual prayer. So what do you mean, Coach? Well, what are the weapons of your warfare? Have you been taught in your Presbyterian church what the weapons of your warfare are? Does anybody, I'm just a little bit of a quiz right now. Does anybody know what the weapons of our warfare are? Somebody help me out. Give me one of them. One of the weapons of our warfare.
The word.
The word. Good. What else?
The spirit.
I'm sorry?
Prayer.
Prayer. What else?
Truth.
Fasting. Come on. What?
The gospel.
The declaration. The gospel. Folks, look. It's the word that heals. Bible says he sent his word and healed them. You don't beg to God. Oh, Lord, you know, you've been so nice to us our whole life. And I'm not making fun of you. I'm trying to help you understand why your prayers are not effective. What do they call the word of God? What do they call the word? Word of God is what? Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even to the soul and the spirit. Does anybody know where that is in the scripture? Huh? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. Hebrews anybody know where 12. That is?
Hebrews 4:12.
Somebody
help me. Ephesians 6.
Hebrews 4:12.
Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4. I'm trying to coach you this morning if you'll do it. For the word of God, not Betty begging for her brother. Doesn't say for Betty moaning and groaning and begging God who's active. And, no. For the word of God is alive and active. What is the word of God? And what is it? It's sharper than any double-edged sword. What does? The word of God. Word of God. Not you begging and moaning and griping and whining. No. Now, that could be fervent. You could be really feeling it deeply. But it would be like me having a machine gun with no shells in it. I could be holding it going, bang, 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 and it didn't hit anything. But the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And the word of God penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. What does? Betty, what does, Betty?
Excuse me, the word.
The word of God. Folks, Pull up the King James. Folks, do you pray the word? When you pray, do you pray the word? But she got the NIV up of that sissy Bible. See, what's the old King James say? Well, I can tell you some stories on that one. For the word of God is quick. Quick. Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. And of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. So let me ask you something. I'm talking to myself. It took me a long time to learn this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What's your weapon? What is your sword? Well, the sword is the word of God. What does it do? It's quick and it's powerful. So whatever it is you're praying for, friends, if you're not praying the word, what the word says about the situation, your prayers are ineffectual. They are not reach. Look, it's not the fact that God doesn't hear your prayers. There's power, wonder-working power. When you unleash the word of God into a situation. You don't tell God about your situation. I heard somebody say, you tell your situation about God. What does God say about that situation?
Boom.
And one of the things that really kind of transformed Michelle's prayer life and my prayer life is we had a book. See if you can Google this real quick, Spencer. It's called Prayers That Availeth Much. Prayers that avail. I think you can still find it. Prayers that avail. Well, look at that. You can get it $4.29 used. And you know what it is? Click on that one, prayers.org. It is prayers for every situation using the sword of the Spirit. What does God say about that situation? And in this little booklet, you open up whatever the situation is, financial, healing, children, whatever it would be, it has prayers designed for that specific target. And what does it do? It teaches you to pray the word. Pray the word. Wow, huh? Pray the word. So this morning, I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about, but I think this is really important. As when we started praying for Mike and Bonnie, this is immediately what I thought of. And so I Googled, Spencer, see if you can pull down for me. Folks, I want to help you. I'm on your side. I'm not against you, okay? Pull up. It says how to pray. Is that the one I want? How to pray. You can put this on the website and put it in the chat if you want to. Handling ailments and holding on to faith. Here are 40 scriptures on healing. So if we want Bonnie Blake to be healed, we have to pray what God's word says about it. So here they are. Here's some examples. Fear not, for I am with you. Lord, you said that Bonnie should fear not, for you're with her. And she won't be dismayed, for you are her God. You will strengthen her. You will help her. You will uphold her with your mighty, righteous hand. Do you guys understand? Boom, 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 boom. Not moaning and groaning about it. What does the word of God say about the situation? What's the next one? Come to me, Lord. You said, you told Bonnie, you said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And Lord, we pray for rest to come to Bonnie and to Mike, that your word will go forth and touch him and heal him. What's the next one? Do you guys pray like this? Has anybody taught you to pray like this? Is it any wonder why your prayers aren't being answered? Because you're shooting blanks. You're not shooting the word, which is the arrow that strikes the enemy. Is any among you, let him call the elders of the church. Lord, I'm calling out Randy, and I'm calling Betty, and I'm calling Dave and Sherry and Keith and Laura to pray, Lord, to lay hands on Mike. Spiritually, Lord, we lay hands on Bonnie, Lord, and we know that when we call the elders to pray over him, you're going to anoint him, Lord, in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make that sick person well. So we stand in agreement, Lord, with your word, which says Bonnie will be healed. Folks, that's how we're supposed to pray. Oh, Lord, well, you know, Bonnie's family, they're all worried about her, Lord. You know, she and Mike, they just went on vacation, and all their vacations. Say amen. That's me, coach. That's how they taught me to pray. They taught me to repeat the problem over and over and remind God, like God fell asleep or something. He didn't know what's going on. So I got to tell him the whole history. I'm not being critical. I'm not making fun of you. I'm trying to show you why we sometimes are so powerless. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. Take the word, read the word, and personalize it. All right? My son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Lord, we're calling to don't let them depart from your eyes, Lord. Our prayers for Bonnie, Lord, let them not depart from you in the midst of your heart, for they are the life to those who find them. Lord, help Bonnie find them and health to all their flesh, Lord. I don't want to overdo it here. You with me? You understand what's going on here, friends? We have to pray the word. Pray the word. What does God say about the situation? Because that's the bullets. That's the bullets in your gun. And so, you know, my wife, if I could get her on here right now, I can't tell you the number of times. Hey, Spencer, pull up Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I can't tell you the number of times I hear my wife do this. Lord, we just thank you that Bonnie dwells in the secret place of the Most High, and she abides under the shadow of the Almighty. And we will say, Lord, you are her refuge and her fortress, and her will, and you will she trust, Lord. And Lord, you said you got to deliver her from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And Lord, you said you're going to cover her with your feathers, and under his wings shall she trust. And she shall be, that you shall be her shield and her buckler. And Lord, Bonnie will not be afraid by the terror of night, nor the arrow that flieth by the day. Nor will the pestilence that walketh in the darkness come near Bonnie, for the destruction awaits at noontime. Lord, we know that 1,000 are going to fall at Bonnie's right hand, and 10,000 at her right hand, but it's not going to come near her, Lord. Why? Because only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked. But because thou hast made the Lord, Bonnie has made the Lord, which is her refuge, even the Most High habitation, there's no evil that's going to befall her. There's no plague that's going to come near her dwelling. Lord, you've given your angels charge over to keep her in all of your ways. And Lord, you're going to bear Bonnie up in your hands, lest she dash her foot against the stone. And she's going to tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion, and the dragon shall Bonnie trample under her feet. Be quiet, Lord, because you have set your love upon her. Therefore, you're going to deliver her and set her on high because she's known your name. You're going to call upon you. You're going to answer. You're going to be with her in trouble. You're going to deliver and honor her. And with long life, will you satisfy Bonnie and show her your salvation? Lord, folks, that's just praying the word. That's personalizing and praying the word. This is, hey, come on. Come on now. We haven't been taught this, have we? How many of you have been taught this? Ever been taught it? We wonder why our prayers aren't getting answered. Any comments? Anybody want to say anything about that? Learn to do this. Get that book, Prayers That Availeth Much, and tell your situation about God. Don't tell God about your situation. He already knows your situation. Lord, what do you say? What do you say? Oh, you say I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? Oh, you say there's no weapon formed against me. It's going to prosper. You said that? Well, I agree with you then, Lord. I agree with you. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling this stuff down. If you believe in a spiritual battle, which I do. And why? Why is there so many sick? We don't even understand it. We beg the Lord. We give the Lord a narrative on what's going on in our life. And he's sitting there ready to hand you a sword. You won't even use it. One of the Allisons. You can both come in if you want to. Come on in.
Yeah, Coach. You see a common thread here. You see our brother Mike is under attack. How the enemy attacks his wife to attack, you know, them as a couple. They're one. Same way with Ray. He attacks Jane. And so, and this is what happens in what in both Ray and Mike and even Jane and Bonnie, I believe, are very active for the doing kingdom work, right?
Yes, sir.
This is what happens. But right. I want you to know, I read John G. Lake's book. And if you don't know who John G. Lake was, he had the most powerful ministry of healing of any man that ever walked the face of the earth other than Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
And you know what what drove John? He hated sickness. He hated sickness with every fiber in his body. And Amen. That's the way he prayed. That's the fervent prayer. So, Lord, I hate sickness. I hate what the devil is doing to my brother, Mike. I hate what the devil is doing to my brother, Ray. And, Lord, we come against this in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, you know, send your word. Send that healing power. As the centurion said, I know you have the power. I don't have to go, Lord. So you just, we hate sickness. And we ask you send healing now. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. We know you hate sickness. You sent your word and healed them, Lord. Right? Amen, Dave. Amen. Amen. Boy, we have been so, Laura Ann, come on in.
But first you have to be in the word on a daily basis so that it becomes part of your DNA. So that it becomes part of your natural speech, so that it becomes part of who you are. Because and then you and when you go into prayer and you're using the word of God, which is his word that becomes flesh and blood, because he's dwelling and living inside of you, and then it becomes active and sharper than any two-edged sword because it's a part of who you are. And he knows you, you know him. And then you're praising him because you're using his word and you're not using Satan's word. And then when you're praising God, all the enemies have to flee because it's Jesus showing up,
Amen.
Not you. You're not saving anybody. You're not healing anyone. It is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the name above all names, which is bringing the comfort through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Folks, I want to show you something right now, okay? For those of look, come on. I hope you're taking me seriously. I hope you are. Hey, Spencer, just right now, Google scriptures on healing. Just Google it. Folks, you can do this. This is so easy to do when you get into a prayer situation. Well, there's 10 healing scriptures. Really? Oh. So, Spencer, what about are there any scriptures on marriage? Well, 10 key Bible verses on marriage. Are you kidding me? 30 Bible verses about marriage and love. You praying those over, huh? You praying that over your marriage? Over? No, no, not doing that because some of you, I won't say it. Huh? What about, are there any scriptures on prosperity? Any scriptures at all on prosperity? What? 66? What? You understand, folks? You understand? And so your prayers have to be targeted. By the way, you don't think that guy that shot at President Trump, you don't think that guy did that, do you? You know, come on, tell me you know he didn't do that. That 19-year-old kid, he wasn't one that shot that, right? But the point being, well, there were some bullets targeted, weren't there? There were some bullets targeted at the target. We don't know who fired him. We don't even really know if they were fired. But the way we were told, there were some bullets that were targeted. And what happened? Somehow, they missed the mark. They missed the mark. So the bullet was just as powerful, but it didn't hit what it was aimed at. And how much time are you spending in prayer complaining to God, rehearsing to God all the mess that you're dealing with, rather than what did, have I made this point enough, folks? I don't care what the situation is. You're praying for healing. What about praying for children? Are there any scriptures on praying for children? Spencer, let's see if there are. Praying for children. Well, there's 12 of them right there praying for your children. How to powerfully use Bible verses to pray over your child. What? You mean the Bible says stuff about that? So you want to be effectual, fervent in your prayer, or you want to be a complaining, griping, moaner? Oh, woe is me prayers. woe is me, prayers don't get you anywhere. It's power, power, wonder-working power. We haven't been taught to appropriate it. John, come on in.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks, Coach. Hey, I looked up that word in James 5 where it says God will save the sick. That's the word. That's the word sozo. It means to be saved, healed, and delivered.
Wow.
It's to make a person whole. It's to make them well. And it's to save a suffering one, someone suffering from disease. So it's absolute healing. It's awesome. And Dave, you were moved with compassion when in your prayer, and you could hear that in your voice. And I believe that's the effectual fervent prayer is when your compassion is coming out of what you're saying, it's coming out of your heart. And if you look up the word compassion in scripture, where a person is healed, there's never the mention of faith, because I think that compassion is encompasses all faith, right? Because faith works by love. And that's one of the things that John G. Lake was moved by. He was moved by compassion. Amen.
John, I appreciate your wisdom and that kind correction, because it is right? But friends, look, it says out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. Brothers, it should not be so. I don't know where it is, but I know that's the scripture. And I wonder how many of you out there say a prayer for your children, whatever it might be. Get down, oh Lord. It could be effectual, it could be fervent. And then 5 minutes later, somebody calls you and you start to repeat all the problems that same child has gone through. You give praise to the devil after you just wounded him. Somebody say, Benny, that'd be a good boom.
Boom.
Because you know why? Because you don't really believe it in your heart, do you? You don't really believe it in your heart. Oh, you have a mental ascension to it. You don't really believe it.
No, hey, Coach. Really.
Yeah.
That verse in James that you're reading is at the end of James. But at the beginning of James, he talks about, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of God. The first prayer we need to offer up to God is for the first gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the word of wisdom about the problem. And it may take time to be educated about it. And that's the right order to pursue this thing in, to know why you're sick. Like, you know, oh, my hand hurts. My hand hurt. Why does it hurt? Well, dummy, because you put it on the burner. In the simplest case, you need to find out if you can understand if God will give it to you. He says in James that he will give it to you if you lack it. He's faithful and will give you that. And so a lot of times we leave that out to investigate why, this has happened. And sometimes the answer can be very, very, very painful.
Yep.
And that means we've got to repent of something that's very deeply rooted in our heart. And it just practically kills us to get rid of it. But that's the way it is. And we got to repent first and get rid of that, whatever we're doing wrong. Like, take our hand off the burner, you know.
Yeah, amen. And, well said.
And so, you know, we got to seek the Lord in the due order. David was rebuked, you know, when he took the ark out because he wasn't seeking the Lord in the due order. You know, there's an order, things got, you know, supposed to be orderly in everything we do in church, amen, congregations, and by ourselves. And all that. Okay, that's what I had to say. Thank you.
Well said. Betty.
Yes, I just want to say that listening to the show, and I thank you, Coach, and many others for teaching me how to pray. So there was, like last year, I would just sit and look for Bible verses. So these are my healing Bible verses. This is my children. These are all different Bible verses for different situations. Hate enemy. So when I need to get really, really serious, I sit down and I'll read these and try to learn them. So how to pray the way I'm supposed to.
That's right. Declare, man. Tell your problem about God. Don't tell God about your problem. Right? Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Come on now. Come on. Sorry we haven't been taught this. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, you're on it. The book of James, if you notice the layout of it, at the end, the compassion works and it produces, because he taught them, okay, quit being double-minded. You're talking one thing and you're saying one thing.
Don't pray for healing and then keep talking about disease.
The point is, Coach, is if we're not careful, we can say the right thing, but then before we're finished, the words will come out of our mouth that will undo what we just said.
Explains what's really in our heart, doesn't it, Randy?
Amen, Coach. And so we got to just watch our words and just speak what God's viewpoint. And if Amen. You understand, Laura Ann kind of summed this up. If you read the word and understand God's will, God's view on these things, on healing and on everything, then you have an idea, an understanding of how to pray. If you don't, you're just going to pray a bunch of negative, stupid words that aren't going to do anything. But, you know,
effectual, right? Effectual.
There is an order to this. The young man that before me that he was right on. There is an order to God's. To producing it, things produce when you do it God's way.
Amen. Amen. Janine.
I'm not saying this is in Mike's situation, but a lot of people ask for prayer and you look at the situation and you might conclude that they need to stop doing certain things. Well, they say, I'm not going to stop eating this, or I'm not going to stop doing that. Well, you know, you can have all the prayers you want unless they go back and stop doing what they're doing. It's not going to do any good. So God is not going to work against somebody's heart that doesn't want it, even though they say they just want to continue in sin or whatever.
Amen. 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 People are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? Cool. But hey, look, I'm going to switch gears, okay? Enough. You get it. You get it, right? Out of the same outcome, blessing and cursings. The Lord said, dude, that can't be so. You got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You don't confess with your mouth and hope in your heart. You got to believe it. You got to believe it and tell your situation about what God says about your situation. And then shut up, take captive every thought and any negative action or verbiage or anything that you try to stop it. Quit praising the devil. Okay, I want to take you someplace today. Chad, I got 15 minutes left here. My buddy Chad, Chad's one of my favorites. Chad called me, says, Coach, he said, we need more of this teaching, this stuff that you were taught. Well, I don't even know what I was talking about the other day. He says, we don't know this stuff. So because we don't know this stuff, history kind of stuff, right? Because we don't know this stuff, we're as confused as everybody else. We're lost as everybody else. We can't fix the situation because we don't really know. We don't really know the truth of it. So I want to show you something right now that many of you do not understand. When they tell you that there's a separation between the church and state, when is when your pastor tells you that there's a difference between religion and government, when they try to tell you that lie, can I give you some evidence here today? Would that be okay? You don't have to believe it. You guys do understand, don't you? Number three, bring up number three, Spencer. Humanism, which is, excuse me, which is the religion of our government. And we'll say that again. Humanism has become the religion of our government. Now, this is the definition of humanism. And I don't want to bore you all, I'll put in the chat that you, hey, look, folks, you got to educate yourself and you got to educate others. When they tell you there's a separation between the church and state, no. First of all, the church would be like Tom Gill has a church, Pastor Clint has a church, Dale has a church. They're not trying to be the government, right? So that whole idea is, words mean things. They change the words and they change the world. And so now everybody believes that there's a separation between the church and the state. See, that's the lie that they told us. So humanism, this is from their own website, friends. Humanism is a progressive philosophy of life that without theism or other supernatural beliefs, affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good. So they just, they don't come out and say they don't believe in God. They just believe they're God. Do you understand? That's what humanism is. The human at the center of religion. So humanism is a rational philosophy informed by science, inspired by art, motivated by compassion, affirming the dignity of each human being. How do you think we got transgenderism and accepting all this tolerance and all this diversity? It's the religion of humanism. I'm not going to read all this to you. I'll put it in the chat. You can read that. Free of supernaturalism, Humanism recognizes human beings as part of the nature and holds that the values, be they religious, ethical, social, or political, have their source in human experience and culture. Humanism thus derives the goal of life from human need and interest rather than from theological, ideological abstraction, and asserts that humanity must take responsibility for its own destiny. That's what our government is, folks. That's what our schools are. They're not religion-free. They're humanism. Going down. Scrolling down. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Humanism is a democratic and ethical lifestyle. The humanist wrote this, friends, which affirms that human beings have the right and responsibility to give meaning and shape to their own life. Doesn't Oprah say you live out your truth? It stands for the building of a more humane society through an ethics based on human and other natural values of spirit and reason and free inquiry through human capabilities. It's not theistic and does not accept supernatural views of reality. That's the religion they're teaching in your schools. Humanism is an approach to life based on reason and common humanity. Recognize that moral values are properly founded on human nature and experience alone. Yada, 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 yada. Okay, so that's what humanism is. When they lie and tell you that there's a separation between the church and the state, folks, they are lying to you. They're telling you there's a separation between Christianity and state. They want humanism to rule and reign. Have they been successful? By the way, have they been successful? Yeah, they've been very, very successful. Okay, so hang on. Go to number five, Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity. This is the Supreme Court. This was the Supreme Court, 1892. They came to the Supreme Court and they wanted to know about the national religion, yada, 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 yada. And it was determined, scroll down, Spencer, keep going down. Get rid of that red dot, go clear on down, clear on down. Clear, nope, yeah, keep going, because there's a part I want you to get to. Hang on, coach, pull it up on your own chart. I will, hang on a minute. Hang on. Okay, oh boy. Keep on going. Keep going. Hang on. Hang on. I'm sorry. I tried to mark this. Because they're going to come out down here and they're going to declare this is a Christian nation, friends. The Supreme Court ruled. Try this right here. Thank you, Spencer. Thank you, Spencer. These and many other matters, which might be noticed at a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic ordinances that this is a Christian nation. This is the Supreme Court ruling, 1892. And so when they came up with the separation between the church in 1947, they overturned what the Supreme Court had already ruled, right? It says, in the face of all these shall be believed that a Congress of the United States intended to make it a misdemeanor for a church of this country to contract for the services of a Christian minister residing in another nation. In other words, they were griping and moaning that government dollars were going to Christian missionaries. And the Supreme Court said, this is a Christian nation and it's okay to do that. Did you guys know that? Did they know that? What does that say, Spence? These and many other matters which might be noticed in a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterances that this is a Christian nation. Come on in, Dale.
Well, you know, the powerful thing about that Trinity versus U.S., you know, court precedents, right, which was right. Based on prior.
That's 90, right. They love to use that all the time, don't they? They
always 98. 98 precedences of prior court cases, which confirmed that United States was a Christian, I'll say was past tense, but that's what they declared. It was based on other court cases that had already declared it.
And don't they tell stare decisis, previously decided cases? Don't we hear that a lot? By the way, pull up number four for me. I'm all over the place today. I hope you can follow, because this is all really, really important, okay? What is religion? Well, what did Webster say back in 18, whenever he put this up there? He says, religion is, in its most comprehensive sense, includes a belief in the being and perfections of God, the revelation of his will to man, and man's obligation to obey his commands, and in a state of reward and punishment, and in man's accountableness to God, and also true godliness or piety of life, with the practice of all moral duties. It therefore comprehends a theology as a system. Theology is not the same as religion. Theology is a system of doctrines or principles, as well as a practical piety for the practice of moral duties, without a belief in a divine lawgiver and without reference to his will or commands, is not a religion. When you take moral judgments, moral laws, and you pull them out, they are no longer, oh my goodness, they're no longer religious. So religion, as distinct from theology, is godliness or real piety in practice, consisting in the performance of all known duties to God and our fellow man in obedience to divine command or from love to God and his law. Religion, as distinct from virtue or morality, consists in the performance of the duties we owe directly to God from a principle of obedience to his will. Hence, we often speak of religion and virtue. So here's what you got to understand. When they said there was a separation between the church and the state, they meant no Baptist government, no Lutheran government, no Episcopal government, no Catholic government, no rules and regulation of any denominational separation between the denominational church and the state. However, at the very heart of the Constitution, at the very heart of our government, is the Bible and Christianity. Do you see what they've done to us?
Boom.
You see what they've done to us? And Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion like the Church of England. They don't have the Church of America. Everybody has to belong to the Church of Washington, D.C., which, by the way, we have to, don't we? We pay tithes to it, do we not? Do we bow to the church in Washington, D.C.? Do we? Oh, yeah, we do, huh? Do we pledge allegiance to the church in Washington, D.C.? So, see, it's no different when Jesus Christ stood before Pilate. What, folks, I wrote on this last week. I didn't get a chance to. People say Jesus didn't deal in politics. How stupid are you? How stupid are you? Who are the political leaders over Jesus Christ? Does anybody out there know? Who were the political leaders over Jesus Christ at his time and his place? Does anybody know?
Sadducees and Pharisees.
Right.
The Sadducees and the Pharisees. Was Pilate over Jesus? No. Jesus stood in front of Pilate and said, "You have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above." So he looked the Roman government in the eye and said, "Get out of here, Willis." However, who took him to Pilate? Who took Jesus to Pilate? The church. Why? Because he was preaching a different king. Oh, yeah, he was preaching a different king. It says a new king that's come. And all your old religious stuffs and all those heavy burdens and stuff you weigh on women. No, no, no. I'm the son of God. And so the religious leaders got threatened by his apparent coup of their political power, Pharisees, Sadducees. The Pharisees and Sadducees said, "We better be careful here because people are going to start following this political party, this Jesus Christ political party. We better do something about it." And the Pharisees and Sadducees said, "What can we do? We can't do anything about it. I know what we do. Let's take him to Pilate." They took him to Pilate. What'd Pilate say? Anybody know? What'd Pilate say? "I don't know. Why would I crucify this guy? I have no power over him. Why would you bring him to me?" And the religious leaders of the day said, "Well, dude, we need him dead, but we can't do it. So maybe the government can do it for us." Then maybe the government could do that for us. Could you kill him for us? You see, do you understand? That the authority of Jesus Christ is and has always been in the church over the government. Always has been. And what are they teaching in your church today? Don't get involved in politics. Jesus didn't get involved in politics. Can I tell you somebody else got involved in politics? John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist do? Why, he showed up to the White House and he told Biden that Biden was sleeping with a whore. Just kind of paraphrasing here. Yep, it did. And what did he do? Well, they come and grabbed that boy and they threw him in jail, sentenced him to death. Today we would call that J6. Right? See, Christianity has always confronted wicked, evil government. Always, friend. Always, always, always. And today, your pastor believes there's a separation between the church and state, and he shouldn't mix politics and religion. Mark Trump, come on in quickly, Mark.
Yeah, Coach, you're on to something here that just clicked in my head. Who loses power today if Jesus were in charge? Who would be the people losing power? In America, government. Who are the Sadducees and Pharisees, Coach? People talk about Jews. They're not the ones running our church.
No.
It's our Christian church.
It is.
It's being run by the government, but no. it's
the Southern Baptist Convention,
right?
Right?
And Baptist we've given up authority of the church, and the Sadducees and Pharisees, the Jews gave up authority, right? So the Jews gave up authority to the Sadducees and Pharisees, and then they didn't want to give it up when Jesus was on scene. Who is that power today? Is it really the government? I mean, honestly, the church, if you don't go to church, you're not doing what you're supposed to as a Christian, Coach. Mm-hmm. If you're a Catholic and you don't go to Mass, see, you're not doing what you're supposed to as a Catholic or whatever religion you're in. So right. I'm saying it was the same then. They didn't want to give up power. Who is it today? And you're going to put your finger right on the problem, I think.
Well, so what did Jesus say to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? He says, you teach his commandments and doctrines of men, making the word of God no effect. He said, you laden women with duties and burdens and things they can't possibly keep. And who did he piss off? Pardon my French. The religious leaders. And what did the religious leaders do? They went to Joe Biden. They started voting Democrat and went to Joe Biden. Come on in, Randy. Called Martin.
Nailing it, Coach. Christianity is the only threat, Coach. It's what founded this nation.
They ran away
from Europe and the Vatican. They ran away from the King of England. They ran away from the monarchy. They ran away to what? To establish the kingdom of God here. Right. They thought they were doing it. And then we got infiltrated and we lost it again. But Coach, anytime, Mark's right on, anytime you make Jesus king, you are a threat to any government that will not acknowledge him.
Hey, let me ask you something, but huh? Who runs your church? Sorry, I hate sorry. You want to come against the leadership of your church? Woo, baby! If there's a way they could drag you to Caesar, don't think they wouldn't. They give you the left foot. Hey, friends, I'm just telling you the truth. All right, I'm just telling you the truth. That Jesus Christ established a kingdom. That he's the king of the kings above all earthly powers. He sits on top of them all. And the American government and American Christianity kicked him to the curb. And they decided, in fact, they would serve their denominational power. They would serve their governmental power, whatever it would be. And they would take Jesus Christ and his kingdom and make his kingdom subservient to earthly kingdoms. And Jesus said, dude, you ain't going to do that. Above all worldly kings. I'm above all worldly. I'm the king of kings. I'm the Lord of all. How about this? I'm the president of presidents. I'm the ambassador of ambassadors. I'm above it all. I'm above it all. And here in America, the American church sits in subjection to the federal government. It's unbelievable, isn't it? That's where we are. You know why they get away with it? Because most of you watching have been taught that the church bows its knee to the government. The exact reason the pilgrims came over here to get away from it. And here we are again. Oh, my goodness. Hey, you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, will set you free. Good Monday. See you tomorrow.